Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, along with producer Ed Alexander, as we say, behind the glass. I'm sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation this week in Hawaii. Today is Monday, May 11th, 2015, and we have a packed show for you. Bill is here live each weekday from noon to 1 on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. We live stream the show at kvoi.com, and you can also get podcasts and archives of all the Buckmaster shows at buckmastershow.com. You can also find the show on Facebook. Just type in Bill Buckmaster and you're there. And if you checked in Sunday, you saw that Bill posted a photo from his hotel balcony on the 20th story overlooking Diamond Head. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of updates. Let's give the Buckmaster Show's media partners a mention. They are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, The Sahuarita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. And you'll find links to the Buckmaster Show on all their homepages. We always get the week started with the Monday political face-off featuring the key issues on the political scene. And then at half past the hour, we're going to be talking to Dwayne Bloomberg, the mayor of Sahuarita. It's now time for the Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And of course, you'll find them there on Facebook. The Monday political face-off featuring commentators John Munger and Jeff Rogers gets underway now. John is a Tucson attorney and former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents. Jeff is also a local attorney and former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Glad you're here, Dan.
Thanks. I know Bill is off in Hawaii thinking he's got the better end of the bargain, but he did miss a great weekend.
He sure did. It's been a fabulous one.
It was a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, might be the last one until October, but it's still a beautiful weekend. So we're going to jump into some of the political news going on here and see what you guys have to say about it. John, we're going to start with you. A Bloomberg poll released yesterday in New Hampshire, which, of course, will hold the nation's first primary in about 9 months. It showed that there is really no clear GOP frontrunner for president. It also noted the gap had closed between Hillary Clinton and whoever ends up with the GOP nomination. Is it too early to be talking about these polls seriously?
Well, look, I think the way to look at the polling is you look at what's happening in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, because those are the three first primary states. It's important that that poll is in New Hampshire. To me, I think what the polls show is that Scott Walker, who hasn't even announced, has 21%. The next closest, there's between three other candidates, Rubio, Huckabee. Rubio's at 13, Huckabee's at 11, and I can't remember who else is in there.
Ted Cruz, probably.
No, Ted Cruz is down. Okay. But Scott Walker, I think this is going to come out some combination of Scott Walker and Marco Rubio. Okay. I just don't see Jeb Bush pulling it off. He was in that poll down at 7%, and I don't see him winning any of the three first primaries. And if he doesn't, I don't think he's going to be able to be the candidate. But I'm very impressed with Scott Walker, who has 21% in those polls and hasn't even announced yet.
Jeff, too early for these. Take these things seriously.
Well, yeah, the polls this far out are basically just a little snapshot of a race. I mean, compare it to the Kentucky Derby, and you know, you look at it at the first poll, you know, and go, okay, well, but that doesn't reflect right. Anything near what happens at the end. I think that probably the only candidate that I think Democrats maybe should have a healthy fear of is Jeb Bush, or a Jeb Bush Marco Rubio dream would probably be the dream combination that would scare us to death, because that's a team that could maybe appeal to moderates. But the problem with the Republican primaries, and some people might allege it happens in Democratic primaries as well, is that there's a race to the right, and you know, you've got to appeal to that base, your base of whether it's Democrat or Republican Party, and the base base is much more conservative in the Republican Party than the electorate that's going to be in the general election, as is the base of the Democratic Party, more liberal than the electorate as well. And so what has happened to Republicans repeatedly is this running to the right to appeal to these base voters so you can win the primaries, and then sometimes you're stuck with those positions. I think it hurt Romney when he, you know, the 47% comment, it hurt him a lot on the immigration issues and the self-deportation. It really, really hurt him in the general election, but those are the kinds of positions that you're forced to take in order to survive a Republican primary season, and I think that's why people like Walker and others are getting some steam here. I think in the long run, though, I don't think that I'm hopeful that the Republican Party will moderate its stance on a few issues and will get a candidate that's more competitive nationwide.
Well, I think that really the news that's out there, I think is Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is running way to the left. She announced last week that she wants to give every illegal alien a pathway to citizenship, and she wants to go. She's going farther to the left even than Obama. I think she's got very serious problems with this, with her financial issues and the foundation. She's got an incredible problem with her integrity and the public's view of her honesty. I will have to tell you, seeing what I see right now, I don't think Hillary Clinton can win the election against probably half of our candidates. I don't think she can beat any combination of Scott Walker, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, certainly those three, possibly Rick Perry. And so I think the Republicans are doing very well. When you have three Republican candidates running within 2 points of Hillary Clinton with all of her name ID, she's got problems.
Of course, national polls show her ahead by double digits and against all of these candidates. And in addition, the Arizona Republic did a report on a poll this past weekend that showed her within the margin of error of winning Arizona, only four points back to almost every one of those candidates. So, and 2 points back in one of them. So, you know, the question is not whether or not she can win. I think the question is whether she can win Arizona on top of it, which would make it a disaster.
I'll bet you a nickel right now, Jeff, that she doesn't win the general election.
Well, I wouldn't bet on Arizona.
I don't see Hillary Clinton winning. She's at a very poor start. The press is talking about that she's been now out there as a candidate.
Except her approval rating is in the 70% range, and the fact is that these kinds of attacks on her are not getting any traction. The major polls showed that just this week. People just aren't. That's not stuff that they care about.
Well, it is, in my opinion. You and I differ on that. And her honesty polls show that only 48% of the public views her as honest, which is a problem. There's a lot of things to happen. There's a lot of mistakes to be made by both sides. I think she's making some very serious mistakes by not answering questions for the press. It's turning the press against her. She's only answered a total of 8 questions from the press since she stepped out and officially announced as a candidate. She's hiding from the press. She's hiding from the public generally, and it's a very interesting phenomenon. She's had an extremely slow start. That doesn't mean the Republicans one way or the other about the Republicans, other than the fact that I think she is a very weak candidate. And from what I'm hearing from my news sources, there are some people in the Democratic Party that are very concerned about her. I know you're not, Jeff.
I'm not, but I will have to tell you that the other people that are announcing, I like as well. I like Martin O'Malley. I've met him personally on occasion. He was a good governor of Maryland, and of course, you know, I don't think Bernie Sanders stands much of a chance, but he will, you know, sort of keep her honest on the issues in the Democratic primary. And then there's the rumors that a couple of other people are bantering about.
Well, you've got possibly Senator Kaine in Virginia. Is it Jim Kaine? I think
Webb.
Jim Webb. I think he's a pretty good candidate. And I'm surprised that Cuomo hasn't come out. The governor of New York, I think he'd be a tough candidate. I think they'd both be tougher than Hillary
Clinton.
I
think they think it's premature for him to come out. The other name that's been mentioned is Lincoln Chafee, who's been everything. He's been a Democrat, an independent, and a Republican. So.
And that's why he's not electable.
Okay, you are listening to the Monday Political Face-Off. We are with John Munger and Jeff Rogers. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Let's go back to that same poll, though, that Bloomberg poll that does show Hillary Clinton was the first choice among 62% of likely Democrat primary voters. And that was considered by her team a pretty good showing, Jeff, especially since at the right around the first of the year, she wasn't doing so well.
Yeah, I think that's a very good showing. I mean, she's very popular. I mean, she's Secretary of State. And by the way, she's going to voluntarily appear before this House committee on this Benghazi investigation. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I think the Republicans are going to have to be real careful what they say to her, because she will be prepared and have answers. And the facts are that there's nothing there. There's no there, and there hasn't been throughout it. And I think they view it as an opportunity to embarrass her. But I think what's going to happen is the opposite's going to happen.
Well, we'll just have to see on that. I think that for somebody like Hillary Clinton, who's been the anointed candidate this long within the Democratic Party, to only have 62% of the Democrats say that she's their first choice, I view that as a real problem. If I were in Hillary Clinton's position, I'd want to have 75-80% of the Democrats saying I was
the
right
person.
Well, keep
in mind, this is a New Hampshire poll.
We're just talking about the Democrats.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to wind it up for this segment, and we will be back with your Monday Political Face-Off here in just a couple of minutes.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM. Positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love. And pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and, of course, on Facebook. We're here with John Munger and Jeff Rogers. And as always, if you'd like to join the discussion, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040. We're going to turn our attention now to Baltimore. We've seen all the rioting and the looting, and we're past all that, but it's really not too difficult to get to the heart of the problem out there, which a lot of us think is a lack of economic opportunity for some of the areas in Baltimore. And I've been out there and had a brother who lived out there, and it's real rough parts of that city. How big a factor, Jeff, we'll start with you, is that going to be in the presidential election about offering economic opportunity? And has President Obama failed in this area?
Well, I don't think he's failed. I think he could have done more if he'd had the support of the Republican Party. but the Republicans have tried to doom him at every opportunity. I mean, the original package to give stimulus to the economy was should have been a lot bigger. We would have had a lot more rapid and better recovery, even though we've recovered dramatically since he took office. It would have been better. They've shot him down on every kind of social program that he's put forth, on unemployment. You name it, they've blocked it. But I think that I highly recommend, if you get online, readers or listeners, and take a look at an article from Saturday in the New York Times that talks a little about Baltimore. It was a wonderful article, and I read it, and I'd been through Baltimore a few times, but when I read this article, I didn't know any of this stuff from the past and the history of it. And you know, the article's author describes it as a southern city, that it's one of the most racially segregated cities in all of America, that there are places, and you can take Baltimore and the African American neighborhoods, the life expectancy is 10 to 15 years shorter than it is in some of the more affluent areas. There is no economic opportunity. It is a real challenge. And there are many other cities like that in America, but I had no idea about the extraordinary racial past of Baltimore and how the segregation took place and what a place it was that was kind of on the forefront of denying housing opportunity and economic opportunity to African Americans all the way from the beginning of the last century to the end of the last century. And these are all things that I certainly wasn't aware of. I kind of looked at Baltimore as sort of an northern eastern city that, you know, was a little bit more further along in its development, but apparently not.
Well, John Munger, how big a question is economic opportunity and making that available to all people? How big of a question is that going to be in the next presidential election?
Well, economic opportunity, of course, is what the two parties fight about. It's not that both of us want to create economic opportunity. The question is, how do you do it? I find it very telling that Baltimore is a city that has had solid Democratic city leadership and state leadership since the 60s. And all the problems that Jeff is describing are problems that have been there for 50 years, and the Democratic Party has done nothing about it. So, you know, meanwhile, we've at the national level had $1 trillion in stimulus. We've had unemployment for 2 years. what we've got in Baltimore and what we've got in other Democratic cities like Detroit and Chicago is an excess of spending without really creating opportunities for people. The same people who do run these cities are people who are against, who favor strong union leadership, teachers' unions, don't want to have charter schools, don't want to give the kids an equal opportunity for education, all those different things. Meanwhile, we've spent since the Great Society programs of Lyndon Johnson, we've spent at least $15 trillion in welfare programs, largely paying mothers to have children without their fathers around. They couldn't get money if the fathers were around. So we've incentivized fathers not being in society. What we've got, in my opinion, in the black community, in the ghetto communities, is we've got a major cultural problem. And in my opinion, very frankly and honestly, the only people that can solve that cultural problem in those black communities, government can't solve their cultural problem in those ghettos. The ghettos have to get together and solve those problems. You know, you have some businesses that are there. What do? They burn them down. And that just can't fly. You can't force businesses to come to places where people, where it's crime ridden, where the culture doesn't work. And I want to stress, I'm talking about the black ghetto communities. I'm not talking about the black society generally. But in those ghettos that have come out of this Great Society programs, where we've isolated these peoples in the community, they've voted Democratic. All of these cities that are having those kinds of problems are heavily Democratic controlled and have been that way for decades.
Jeff Rogers, cultural problem?
No, it's not a cultural problem. It's a problem of poverty. And let me remind people that there's also an excellent article this morning. Just this morning, I saw in the New York Times when it got delivered to my house. There's Jason Furman, who's White House Council of Economic Advisors, the head of it, did an article where he explained in economic analysis of what social programs do and how successful many of these programs are. So it's not that these programs haven't succeeded, it's that we haven't done enough. For instance, one of the ones says that housing vouchers that got people to move out of their neighborhoods into other neighborhoods increased their income by 31%. Studies show that the earned income tax credit also reduced poverty, and it also reduced incidence of low birth weight and boosted college enrollment for the children who benefited from it as children. Same thing for receiving Medicaid in childhood, made it substantially more likely that a child would graduate from high school and complete college, and less likely that an African American child will die in his late teens or be hospitalized at age 25 or go to prison by that age.
But Jeff, after
all of these programs have been effective, we aren't doing enough in these programs. It's not that and they're not all perfect. Some of them work better than others, but we need to do more to help these people get a leg up out of poverty and a leg up and a chance to become part of the American middle class, instead of relying upon tax breaks for the rich and trickle down economics, which have failed, I might add. And if you only need to go to Forbes magazine to read the article about what's better for the economy. History says vote Democratic, and they go on and on statistically to show that the incomes of everybody, even people who own stocks and businesses, are better during Democratic administrations.
But after 50 years, we're still having rioting and looting in places like Baltimore, and you're saying it's because
we're
not giving
it up? Well, the rioting and looting got started because a police officer shot an unarmed black man in the back. That's what started the rioting and looting.
But that's not the reason for it. It really isn't the reason for it. It's frustration.
Well, that's what got it started.
But it's frustration among these people who have been held down for a long time and don't feel they have opportunity. Isn't that really it? And that's what we're talking about, is digging deeper than
I agree. We do need to dig deeper, but let's talk about the impetus that got this thing started. The same thing happened in Ferguson, Missouri. I mean, in both cases, we had an unarmed black man killed by a white police officer, and that's we've got a problem with police officers, in those getting into those communities. The different kind of policing needs to take place.
Jeff, why doesn't why does why don't we focus where the problem really is? It's in the cultural problem in the black neighborhoods. When you have other police problems in other areas of the country, they don't burn down buildings and they don't do some of the things that we've seen. You have city after city under Democratic control with high taxes and huge giveaway programs, all going bankrupt. Meanwhile, the black ghetto population and the black ghetto culture is dissolving in front of our eyes. What you guys have talked about for 50 years hasn't worked. And what you've got to do
is... because we haven't worked hard enough at it, John.
Yeah, well,
we haven't worked hard enough at it. We haven't done enough to give people opportunities.
Let me finish. Meanwhile, the country itself is going bankrupt. We're $18 trillion in debt just in operating capital, to say nothing of our pensions, where probably this country has total debt of something like $100 trillion. Now, to put this in context for the listener, our total gross domestic product every year, every dollar earned by every single American and American company is only $15 trillion a year, and we're in debt $100 trillion. Jeff, you can't just keep throwing good money after the bad. You have to get smart.
And this president has reduced that debt more than almost any other president in history.
No, he hasn't.
And the last one who actually balanced the budget was Bill Clinton. We saw more increases in the debt of this country during Ronald Reagan and George Bush and George W. Bush than we've seen historically in the history of this nation. You know, Democrats actually are more fiscally responsible than Republicans.
Let me break in here. Ingrid is on the line. You got a quick question for John. Ingrid?
Yes, I just wanted to say that this isn't a black problem. This is a problem of casual reproduction. There's no personal responsibility being taken here. And if we took the children and put them into government boarding schools instead of letting them live in the households of a family, a lot of this would stop, I think.
Okay. Well, that's... you'll recall back at the turn of the 18th century, that's what we did with the Indian kids. That's why we've Indian School Road up in Phoenix, and people hate those programs. The last thing I want to see is government trying to raise kids. We are not a communist country. What needs to happen, what built this country, is families. We need to help those people, whatever race they are, get their families back together and incentivize them. The one thing I do want to say, Jeff, your numbers with regard to the debt are just wrong. Since President Obama took office, we had a total national debt of $10 trillion. He has almost doubled that debt. It is now going on $19 trillion. He himself has created more debt for this country than all of the other presidents combined since George Washington. He is not a fiscal conservative.
Okay, that is going to have to wrap it up for this week's Monday political face-off. I'd like to thank John Munger and Jeff Rogers. Always an adventure with you two. Once again, we want to thank our political face-off sponsor, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course, on Facebook. They do great work over there. When we return, we'll be joined by Sarita Mayor Duane Bloomberg to find out what's going on down there. We'll be right back after the break.
Do bees worry you? Do bees scare you? Would you like to know a pest control company who can give you options in dealing with this situation? How about bee removal? Or would you prefer to send them straight to bee heaven? Five Star Termite and Pest Control can give you these options. Call the professionals at Five Star, 886-0045. Fivestar-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster as we head into our second half hour. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Coming up over the Memorial Day weekend, it's the 20th Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival, featuring legendary Blue Masters Taj Mahal. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and the Georgetown Cabins, visit southwestnewmexico.org and learn all about it. We are welcoming to this half hour Mayor Duane Bloomberg from the town of Sahuarita, where I live. How are you doing?
Just fine. Thank you, Dan.
Okay, and I promised him off the air that we would not talk about rioting, looting, or Baltimore.
Right. Sounds good.
And we don't have too much rioting and looting down in Sahuarita, at least last time I checked. If so, it's gotten past the editor. We are not in Hawaii with Bill, but I'm sure he's having a great time, and he was looking forward to hearing what you have to say about the town of Sahuarita, which is one of the fastest growing communities in Arizona and doing very well. However, tonight is a town council meeting. You are going to be starting to discuss next year's budget, and it's flat. Are we comfortable with that we're rebounding from a recession here, or what's the town thinking right now?
Probably so. I don't like to use the word recovery, because that sort of implies going back to something. I think maybe improvement is the word we want to use here. But it is a fact that the economic improvement in southern Arizona, in the Tucson metro region, has not kept pace with that, say, in other areas of our state like Phoenix, or with the nation as a whole. So I'm seeing some signs, and if you drive around the community, you see new construction picking up and going on. We have some new retail businesses in and so forth. So, yeah, but I think we need to wait a little bit longer to see whether the trend is really there.
So it's fair to say that the budget you're working on right now is cautious.
Indeed. I think that's a good word. I think that's the mood I sense in a lot of places. People are cautious. Now, our budget, you need to look probably at the general fund and the capital improvement infrastructure fund. We get a fair amount of money from other government entities for projects like the Sahuarita Road project going on now. That's winding up. It'll be finished actually next month.
Right.
And so with that, there's a considerable decrease in outside external revenues. But we're doing about flat for the rest of the budget.
Okay, well, cautious certainly doesn't mean that we're standing still. Tell us a little bit about the Biz Hub that the town is launching soon and who's going to be able to take advantage of that.
Right. This is a one-stop business center, which involves technology and public and private meeting places, networking, workshops, and assistance, and so forth. Anyone can use it. It is a public town facility. It's really targeted at the large number of home-based businesses that we have in town and smaller businesses who need this kind of thing. Think of it as a business incubator writ small,
okay,
if you will.
And it'll be housed at Town Hall?
It's in the Town Hall. It's in a portion of the lobby.
Okay.
As you come in.
And it's going to open up later on this month?
This Thursday.
This
as
Thursday.
A matter of fact, at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, very good. So come on over and we'll see how they can help you out. And we have dozens, if not hundreds, of home-based businesses in Sahuarita. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct. Closer to the hundreds rather than dozens.
Right. And so a lot of them are just out there trying to make it work, and now the town is stepping in and helping them. And I guess that's a nod to small businessmen and women, that
indeed,
they really are contributing to the economy.
If you think about it, there are essentially three ways to increase the business activity in a town. One, you can attract businesses that aren't there now to come from elsewhere. Secondly, is expansion and retention, helping setting the stage for existing businesses to grow and expand, or entrepreneurship, the creation of new businesses. And that's what we're trying to do here. A small business out of the home can become a big business.
Yeah, definitely.
With
so,
time.
Helping out early on, I guess. We have got some pretty big news down in that area. It's not directly in the town of Sahuarita, but we certainly are going to be impacted as the Green Valley Hospital is set to open later on this month. They don't have an exact opening date yet, but it's going to be in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I was talking to David Wanger, who is the CEO, and actually we're going to be interviewing him on this show on Friday, and he was saying about 85% of the employees come from Green Valley and Sahuarita. How big is this for the town?
I think it has the potential to be very big. In more health care opportunities is a thing that people have told us for a long time that they want and need, and I think it's nice. Some of the council members and the town staff went down a couple of weeks ago, and Mr. Wanger took us around and showed us everything going on. And in fact, I think as we're speaking, the inspectors who need to come and inspect a new hospital are there. So I think it's going to open soon. The situation as I see it for our town is that, of course, a lot of people in our town, the majority of those who work in Tucson, and the town is sort of oriented to the north, to Tucson, and people have physicians and medical care facilities and such that they use in Tucson, and so we'll see how people can be attracted to a closer facility.
And you are listening to the Buckmaster Show. We are talking to Sahuarita Mayor Dwayne Bloomberg. Mayor, that is a big concern. Will people in Sahuarita head south for hospital care, or will they just head on up to Tucson? Because as you mentioned, most people in Sahuarita who work in Tucson. A lot of people play in Tucson. A lot of people shop in Tucson. We're trying to, end that, or at least give them fewer reasons for going up there.
Indeed.
Will the hospital, will they orient themselves and head south?
And honestly, I don't know the answer to that. If you will remember, originally, one of the large medical centers in Tucson was going to operate this new hospital down in the southern part of Green Valley, but that fell through. I think that would have been a big plus.
Right.
But On the other hand, I know some of the groups that they have contracted with at the new hospital, and they're reputable, known groups, so we'll just have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, I toured it for several hours, actually, about a week and a half ago, and very impressive to the, to a person who doesn't have a medical background, but certainly they are relying or going to have to rely on that Sarita market, so we'll see what happens there.
Yes.
Move the attention over to FICO, which are the people who own the pecan orchards that are so famous down in Green Valley and Sahuarita. They're moving ahead on the Sarita Farms project. Can you give a brief overview of what that project is and what's going on with it?
Sure. FICO has about 6,000 acres of pecan orchards in the town. It's about one-third the area of the town, in fact. And they are trying to plan for future development. And to their credit, they don't want wildcat development. They want a nice master plan community. They have very definite views of what this should be and what FICO's legacy in the town will be. And so we're trying to get to work up a specific plan and a development agreement, zoning, if you will, for that area. And it's been very interesting because it's going to be a 50-year project, probably. And who knows what situation will be 30 years from now and what the needs will be. And it's too early to tell exactly where things will go and what exactly will be there. So we're trying to balance the town and the developer's need for certainty, but flexibility. And we've been working through this. I hope that the council will be taking action on this at the end of June, but that will depend on how negotiations go along.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we'll be talking about how Sarita is looking east. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and we are talking to Dwayne Bloomberg, who is the mayor of the town of Sahuarita. And we were just discussing the Sahuarita Farms project, which is roughly 6,000 acres of pecan groves that over the next 50 years will be developed carefully. And I've got to hand it to the Walden family, because they have had lots of public meetings on this. They want input, they want to do it carefully, and they want to do it right. But
Indeed, yes. Yeah. I liked the project the first time I heard them present it several years ago, and I was really impressed with their concern for the community, how this will fit, and to tell everybody what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and they were there long before most of us even knew this part of the state existed. So
yes.
They certainly have a deep emotional tie to it. But let's talk about other ways that Sahuarita plans to grow, and it is looking east to annex actually quite a few square miles. What's going on with that?
Right. Well, geographically, east is the only way we can grow. We're hemmed in on the other directions, and so we're looking at a very large study area. Imagine running around, going east on Sahuarita Road. The current town boundary at the east is at Country Club Road, and our study area goes from there down to Wilmot and all the way down to the Houghton Road area, and we think there's a lot of potential there for future development. And what excites me is we're trying to do something different. Under the leadership of Councilmember Gil Lusk and our staff, we're trying to figure out what life in this part of the desert will be like in 30 years or so, and what kind of things should we do there, and what should be different, and how can we do better.
And is this somewhat of a race? I mean, you have some land out there. There aren't a lot of people who are living on it. Houghton Road, of course, is out by Corona de Tucson, which is unincorporated, and then you're getting to Vail, and that's an awful lot of territory, and I can't imagine that Tucson doesn't have its eye on it.
Oh, it does, surely. And we've had some conversations with the city of Tucson, but we won't do this all at once. I'm sure we will take some pieces of this, and the main landholder there is the State Land Department. And so we're working with them, and we have been, and we're trying to set up a meeting with the new director there and continue to move forward.
Any sense, and I know that you said Gil Lusk has been working on this, and we've been to meetings with him and with the community, and there's a lot of work being poured into this, but any sense of what that land would be used for? Would it be just, again, more housing developments? Would it be industry? Yeah. What is it?
Everything. There will certainly be housing, but that's also very important to our economic development plans. As you know, the town's economy depends very heavily on the retail and service sectors, and on construction and construction-related activity. We need to diversify. We need to bring in companies that do different things, sell their goods, services, ideas outside of the immediate area, so-called primary businesses, and we're working hard on that, and that's a prime area for that kind of development.
And really, if you look at Marana and Oro Valley, they have been very successful in establishing really images and drawing business, and they have good leadership, and they're doing some great things up there. Sahuarita really needs to do the same down here?
And exactly. So it in my judgment, it's about finding niches,
right,
business sectors. And we've just had a nice study done that has identified four, five, six, I guess, of those areas for us, and we have some plans. And another opportunity's come up, so there might be a seventh one. We'll have to see how that plays out.
And I'm sure Mexico plays into this in some way. How, I know Victor, yes, Gonzalez, who is our economic development director for the town of Saurita, has been on many trips down there. Is, yes, this bearing fruit yet, or what exactly are we looking for out of Mexico?
Well, there's already lots of traffic out of Mexico, and there will be more as is it State Road 189, I think is the right number, is developed and eases up the traffic congestion there coming on. I think that initially will be a shopping destination for people coming up to Mexico if we get the commercial development along I-19 that we would like. We will be a place where people live who work in Mexico, the maquiladoras, for example. And down the line, we have some. I went to a program recently about the automobile business in Mexico and the companies in Arizona who are doing business there, and we could be a center for that,
And we should note that we are at kilometer post 75. That's the Cerrito Road exit, so that's about 45 miles north of the border. We have plenty of people who make that trip every day,
yes,
already, so
indeed,
we've already got some something going with them. But there was an editorial in the Arizona Republic recently about expanding the 75-mile limit for Mexicans who come into Arizona mostly to shop. Right,
right.
Now, that 75-mile limit allows them to get up to Tucson, going right past us. The Arizona Republic,
yes,
is editorializing that we should just open it up. We should allow them to go anywhere in the state. That would really hurt our area, though, wouldn't it?
It might. On the other hand, our area is developing. There are a couple of the big malls in Tucson that are very popular with our visitors from Mexico, and there's more opening up. For example, a very large mall, outlet mall in Marana, high-end mall, outlet mall. And I think it depends on the attractions that we have in our area as to whether people would want to go up to Phoenix. Now, to go to a bigger city with more going on and sports events and big concerts and so forth and so on, maybe so, but I think our area can do very well. For Saurita, the main problem is we do not yet have that commercial development.
Right,
but
right,
we're working hard on it.
We are. So your hope is that if everybody gets their act together in the Tucson area, there will be no reason for Mexican shoppers to go north of Tucson.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we'll see. We are with Mayor Duane Bloomberg of the town of Saurita. Let's last topic here. Let's look at the county bond request. We're going to see this on the ballot in November, $815 million spread over seven props. Our area is involved in several of those, would benefit from many of those. Overall, do you look at that $815 million number too much, too little? Are you happy with what we ended up at least being able to put before voters?
Yes. What I hear from, and when I come to Tucson and talk to people, I'm largely with other elected officials or with business community leaders, and they're talking largely about two things. They're talking about roads and jobs, sometimes in the other order, depending on which group it is. But there seems to be a lot of focus and interest on those. And, of course, those are on the ballot. There'll be seven different propositions, and voters will vote on each of those. The road and highway improvements have the so-called Sonoran Corridor in it, which is very important to our town because the more things move south, the better for our town.
Right.
This will really help that.
Right.
We have a library district project to build a library in our town, and we have a Parks and Rec project for a new recreation complex, a partnership between the town and the YMCA and the Saurita Unified School District. So, yeah, I think we've got good projects there, and this economic development, is going on. These projects are really very important to our future.
Well, you look at all seven of those props, and I've looked at them pretty closely. If the voter looks at those closely, I can see some passing and some not. I don't know that,
yes,
your average voter does. It tends to be all thumbs up or thumbs down. The,
yes,
roads pretty much everybody understands that we're in a pickle
here. Yes, exactly.
And we need that. But the economic development, how are we going to persuade people that some of these projects really are going to pay off for us later on? Because, you know, you mentioned roads and jobs, but let me throw one more word out there, debt.
Yes.
Because there's you're taking on an awful lot of debt here.
Yes. We probably don't have enough time to pursue this fully, but my thinking on this and my studies and information I have, the per person, per capita long-term debt in our county is not significantly bigger than it is in other places and other cities. It's just done differently. Here we do a lot through the county. In other places, they do a lot through the cities and special districts and boards and so forth and so on. I know debt is not necessarily a good thing, but it's not necessarily a bad thing either. And I don't know whether people will bite off $850 million at once, but I think people who look, and I know there'll be a lot of campaigns on this, on these particular projects that we've been talking about.
So it's costly, but might be worth it. We can afford it.
Yeah, we certainly need infrastructure investment in this area.
Okay, and that's something for each voter to decide. I am Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News, Sarita Sun, and we are with Mayor Dwayne Bloomberg of the town of Sarita, and that's going to wind it up for this segment of the Buckmaster Show, which is made possible in part by the generous support of Perfection Auto Works. Mike Emery and his team can take care of all your foreign and domestic automobile needs, and Mike offers a free 26-point inspection. Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650 or at perfectionautoworks.com. That's going to wrap it up for us. You have a great rest of your Monday, and I'll see you on Friday.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.